Hello, my name is Emily. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from seeking affirmation, numbing pain with food, and people-pleasing. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for saving my life from the pit and bringing redemption, healing, and hope to my life. Thank you for giving me a taste of the depths of your love towards me. Thank you for each person you brought through the doors tonight, and I ask you to speak to each of them personally and give them courage and commitment to continue on the recovery journey. Please calm my nerves and allow every word I say to be of you, not me. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm so happy and terrified to be up here because it means God has taken me on a remarkable journey of recovery. And just the fact I'm sitting on a stage speaking is just one of the many proofs of what he can do in a life when you let him work. Before regeneration, I was often depressed and without hope, fearful, struggling to believe God was good, impatient, and disrespectful with my mom, and turning to food to numb the pain life threw at me. As a people pleaser, I put on a good front to the world so no one would know how much of a mess I was on the inside. I grew up in a Christian home with loving parents, so I knew from an early age that God had sent his son to die on the cross to pay the penalty of my sins. By the age of 10, I accepted God's personal gift to me and Jesus to pay the debt of my sin. However, I didn't know what it looked like to lean on him in the ups and downs of life. And so when I went to college, I began to turn to food to numb the pain of not being able to respond lovingly and respectfully to my mom. I found myself impatient and disrespectful with her often, which was frustrating and discouraging for me. I felt like a failure as a daughter and a Christian because I couldn't respond, more often than not, like Christ would. Without even realizing it, I would eat comfort food excessively to numb the pain and escape for a while. Eventually, I would begin to use food to numb the pain of not feeling pretty enough for boys to show much of an interest in, not passing a big test for work, or to escape after hard days at work. When I would be in a slump and turning to food daily, I'd eventually get to a point where my clothes wouldn't fit, and I'd work out daily and eat super healthy and strict to compensate, so that people never began to question me or say anything about me gaining weight and discover my struggle. This trend continued on and off for about 10 to 12 years. I'd say many times that each time was the last, but without luck. Maybe I'd make it 6 months, but then something would happen and send me back to taking the easy route to numb the pain of life for a while. It always left me feeling so empty, but somehow I still thought it sounded like a good idea at the time. Fast forward to the end of college, I'd had my heart broken by a handful of guys. Just when things started to look like a guy might like me, I'd realize he only saw me as a friend. I'd always tell myself God knew best, but I didn't truly believe it. I didn't know at that point in my journey I could actually say it and actually believe it too. During my study abroad in Mexico, I began to receive attention from guys for the first time in my life, really. I would turn them down because I knew I shouldn't be with them because they weren't believers. Yet, after months of seeing all the other girls get guys, and here I was having to turn them down, I was beginning to feel like more than ever now that God was holding out on me and giving me rules to keep me from having fun. I was tired of always missing out on what looked like fun. At the same time, once again, I found out that a guy I thought was interested actually wasn't. I had reached my breaking point. I got angry at God for the first time in my life. Not too long after this, a man that I knew casually on my study abroad asked to kiss me, and I decided, why not? I was tired of missing out, and what could it hurt was my thinking at the time. I was so sure I was never going to get married at this point that I had decided I wanted to at least know what it was like to be kissed before I died. A little dramatic, I know, but that's where I was at. Little did I know that it would lead to more than a kiss and become an addictive pattern in my life. I began to notice if I was in a hard season and a guy showed interest, I allow it, even though I knew in my head I shouldn't, and in the end it would leave more pain. It felt good for those few moments and made me feel beautiful. It was a way to numb the pain of whatever I was going through in that season and escape for a few fleeting moments. I finally reached a point where I couldn't go on anymore, having people think I was one person and knowing I wasn't. I knew I had to stop and ask some of the hard questions I'd pushed down over the years and decide whether Christ was the real deal or if I believed it simply because I was afraid of what people would think if I chose to stray away from God. After months of soul searching, reading books that dealt with my questions about God being good, and asking questions to a trusted pastor in my life, I decided that Jesus was the real deal and that I was ready to leave all the bad habits behind. I really thought I was done turning to food and guys to numb the pain. However, I still wasn't equipped and didn't know exactly how to turn to Christ in the hard times. This became obvious when I left for Korea to teach English a few months later and began the most challenging year of my life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. After work, I'd overeat on sweetbreads from the neighboring bakery and snacks from the convenience store to cope with the stress and escape to a place where for a few minutes life felt good. Then, towards the end of my time, I found myself doing inappropriate things with another guy and was heartbroken. I'd fully returned back to all my old ways. I felt so hopeless and like I was stuck forever in these habits. After my year of teaching in Korea, God led me to Dallas, and very shortly thereafter to Watermark. My first Sunday, I saw regeneration described in the Watermark news and knew I had to go. I didn't have much faith that it would work, but I at least had to try. When I came into Regen, I believed I was going to be the exception to the rule, meaning that I'd put in the time and hard work, yet come out unchanged. I was skeptical of the journey, but so desperate to feel the freedom in Christ I'd read about in the Bible that I was willing to give it a try. I'd been a Christian for about 19 years, but hadn't seen any growth in my life or victory over struggles. I've always struggled to open up about deeper things, and most especially my feelings and weaknesses. Therefore, opening up to strangers about my deepest struggles and weaknesses was terrifying and nerve-wracking, but I was so desperate, I showed up and pushed through it. Step 3 was crucial for me. This was where God opened my eyes to see that I didn't truly trust him and used this step to deepen my trust in him and his goodness. I was about halfway through the step work before I began to notice small changes. Initially, they were internal changes. I saw myself being more gracious towards difficult-to-love people, falling in love with the Lord, and desiring to spend time with him and his word versus doing it because I needed to do it. A few steps later, I began to see small victories in how I responded to my mom. I would see myself being patient, where before I wouldn't have normally, and quicker to ask forgiveness when I would respond ungraciously. At one point during my recovery journey, there was a moment where I had an opportunity to walk the path of escaping the pain with a boy, and I wasn't even tempted that time. Not because of me or what I'd done or trying harder, but because of what Christ had done in me. I'd learned that what God could give me was so much more and so much better that I wasn't willing to sacrifice my intimacy with him for something that would leave me empty, hurting, and dealing with guilt and shame again. A short time before starting my Regen journey, Romans 12:2 kept coming up in my life. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I knew God was telling me I needed to renew my mind in him and let him transform me, but I didn't know exactly what that looked like. God provided the answer through Regen to renew my mind in Christ, as well as to be discipled, something I hadn't had in my life up to that point. It was thrilling for me to begin to see the first fruits of that transforming power. However, food was still a stronghold in my life, and truthfully, I was discouraged about this. This discouragement and desire to be truly free in every sense compelled me to open up to a close friend for the first time about the depths of my issue with food and admit for the first time that I was an emotional binge eater both to myself and to her. As time went on, I began to see slow progress in myself in the area of turning to food to escape life when it was overwhelming. Sometimes I had victory by turning to God and friends for accountability. Other times I would fall, but not as hard or for as long. During this time, a friend shared Micah 7:8, which says, "Rejoice not over me, O my enemy, When I fall, I shall rise. When I sit in the darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. Before this verse, when I'd fall, I'd often stay there for a while thinking incorrectly. Well, I failed again, and would get stuck there in discouragement for a few days. This verse was a huge game changer for me in that kind of thinking, because it got me thinking, I don't want Satan rejoicing over my falling into an old sin pattern. So I'm going to start quoting this verse to him and get right back up in God's strength and move on. It showed me Satan may have won a battle, but not the war. With God on my side, I could be victorious and didn't have to stay in the pit of discouragement of having fallen again. As a recovering perfectionist, I also learned to hold on to the small victories and celebrate them, rather than getting frustrated about how far I still had to go. I remember when I went home for Christmas 2 months before the end of my regen group, overflowing with grace and patience towards my mom. All glory and credit go to Christ for each and every victory. As I pursued and pushed into him more and more, the changes he began to work out in my internal thoughts and the more changes he began to work out in my internal thoughts and external actions. Seeing this transformation was exhilarating for me, and for the first time in my life, I truly felt like a free woman, no longer in bondage. My walk with God looks completely different now than before regeneration, and I give him all the credit for that. I'm not a morning person, but I've learned if it doesn't happen first thing in the day, there's a good chance it won't happen. For years, I had tried consistently to get up to work out, and I couldn't maintain it. Through accountability and God's help, I've gotten in the habit of getting up at 5:20 a.m. so I can spend time with him before I leave for work at 6:50. I've learned that it needs to be the first thing that happens on the weekend, or too often, or more often than not, it does not happen. I love seeing this transformation God has done in my life, because before, my times with God were mostly done out of duty, rather than realizing my desperate need for him to keep me grounded, strong, and ready for when the hard times, lies, and challenges and temptations come. I know now that it's not a matter of me trying harder, instead of spending time with him consistently so he can transform me. He is my source of strength and life. Now, I'm an open book with my closest friends. If I slip up in something, I'm quick to confess it to my inner circle. I know now that keeping in the dark allows it to grow, and I don't want to be a slave to any sin pattern anymore. God has even given me the courage to be honest with strangers about my past or people I'm not super close to when my story seems relatable to theirs. I'm not as bold as I would like to be when it comes to sharing the gospel, but I see God using my story more and more to help me share the gospel as I share about his power and transforming work in my life. I know now that it's not my story, rather God's story, and so I have no right to keep it to myself if it can bring encouragement, hope, or someone to him. God has given me great victory in this area over the stronghold of turning to impure relationships with guys. I wish I could say I have honored God with every guy that has shown interest in the past 3 years. However, people-pleasing kept me from being courageous and speaking up 2 times when things started going in a non-God-honoring direction. While it disappointed me in those moments that I didn't honor God 100% in the area of purity, he has given me the courage to be the one to stop things from going further, apologize, ask forgiveness, and leave. So while I can't say I don't fall in any of these areas of sin ever, I can say almost every time God keeps me from beating myself up over it when I do. He brings truth to comfort me, remind me of his love for me, and that he only desires the best for me. I no longer doubt that he is good. I have gone through some pretty challenging work and relationship situations over the past 3 years, but I have never once doubted his goodness or love towards me. If I could pass on just one thing to you today, it would be, don't quit. Keep being faithful and working through the steps and allowing God to transform you. The changes may look different than you expect or take longer to see than you want, but God desires to show himself to you. So keep seeking him, most especially push hard into him when it gets hard. You are never too far gone for God to redeem. Thank you for listening to my story of God's grace and redemption in my life. My name is Emily. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from seeking affirmation, numbing pain with food, and people-pleasing. I take none of the credit for these victories in my life. All the credit, praise, and glory are the Lord's. Thank you.